I'm 100% sure, but I'm not having crutches at the moment. So what I'm having is, so we had a long problem about not finding out why the time syncing up between the relative time in a sort of in a summarized section and the absolute time didn't correspond and stuff, and we finally got some stupid, well, at the moment our best guess is that it was some stupid Java thing about if you have two objects and you say object, say A equals B, they actually reference to the same thing. So any changes you make to one are made to the other. And if you do that around five quarters, you lose track of it and you suddenly wonder why that value is zero. And it turns out it is zero because it's the same thing that you. Anyway, so we figured out. It's interesting. Why don't I have a screen here now? Actually, that's new, but that's okay.
What's
It's
the problem?
doing different things all the time. Like, this is the first
Oh,
time
now
that
I
I
don't
can.
have it on your screen.
But that should be
Um,
okay. That should be okay. I'll be able to.
normally, at least on Windows machines, it goes through a cycle. So if you press whatever the key
Yeah, but
combination you
last
press
time I pressed
is.
the key combination, everything went wrong, and I think I'll be able to do it just fine on the screen, so that'll probably
Um,
keep me from pointing on my screen,
but
which I usually.
now it's not showing
It
anything.
might just be at this point, like there's sometimes a point of loading, not usually that long. Well, let's see. Anyway, so let's just see what happens. In the end, we did get it working.
Maybe try
There
the
we go.
key combination again. With Windows machines, there's a cycle, so that if you press it once, you get it on both your screen and the projector. Another time, it takes it off your
So
screen.
now I'm having a complete mess of like split screens and stuff. I think last time. Oops.
Oh,
Yeah, but that's
well.
not what we wanted.
No.
So, but I think that this is our outcome only. Usually it resets this. Amazing strange color combinations I see in front of me at the moment.
Do you want to try rebooting? That seemed to work before, didn't it?
Yeah, we somehow always get it working, but in different ways every time. So that kept us like basically from doing anything else productive for quite some time in the last days because we were hunting down the stupid error. I got it fixed in the last whatever 1 hour or something, but so at the moment the program is sort of in between working and not working because we've done all the changes to try what the error was. Dave, I think actually that the summary at the current moment isn't working 100% correct. But that could be because of the
Can
input
I have
data.
you
It
move your
seems to just
lapel
take the first
microphone?
utterances more or less.
Did you stick it on there?
I have to check
You can move it up a bit
like
and
if you
see if you get closer to
first if
him.
you read through the
Yeah, it
summaries,
should be
they read
okay.
suspiciously fluent, like as in people's questions and answers, and then if you plot them on the screen where they are at the moment, they
Well,
seem to have.
depends which data you use as well, because if you use the data where they're all really high, it does prefer ones from the beginning because it just picks the
Yes.
first ones it finds.
So maybe that's where the problem is coming from.
But I'll check it out
Yeah. So this is when you can start shifting around your laptop to think that it gets somewhat less sloped on the screen. So I'm not really sure what we would have done to be honest. I'm going to show this just what we have at the moment, but it's not going to look very different from what we had last time. Don't ask me what happened to the promise that you will get your script where you can use your own stuff, because actually that was sort of ready, but then we sort of started trying to get something more working, and then we got into big problems. So at the moment, I mean, again, we should be at a state where people can load their own stuff.
I've got time now, like for the next couple of days, so I'll do some because I was just too busy last week.
Thing is, at the moment, it's just really bad for me. But from Monday on, I can just do 24/7 for this one until it's due. But until Monday, it's going to be really bad. Like, it can probably help people if they have problems with getting what we have running now, but we'll see.
All right. Let me know when you're finished.
Okay. So I'll just start up what we have now, and then we can talk about what different people have and stuff.
What's that? It's creeping over the
Sorry.
screen.
Huh?
Doesn't look great, does it?
Eek! Yeah, it doesn't. But sometimes you have to take whatever you get and just see how far that gets you.
That's really weird, cause it just started creeping over.
Yeah, so let's perhaps in the meantime talk about the numbers we assign to the dialogue X, because I didn't know that you left out those who don't have words, so I just extracted the actual dialect numbers, and the problem is it's perhaps more dangerous to get mistaken with all those numbers and not knowing why things happen if we just leave out numbers and make a new...
Well, as long as the two correspond, then it's fine.
Yeah, sure, but I mean, for all those numbers that are based on words, I can automatically just throw those where it's nothing, but those dialects are like 33 in the first meeting.
Mm.
They have a duration, even though they don't have a word. So for my other measures, I get them, and I don't, I mean, I would have to look for every single program that looks for every number and does the method.
Would it be easier if there's a reference file with the actual real ID and the corresponding number?
Yeah, there's,
so
there's index files already.
Is there some already?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, in the raw text index directory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it allows you to map between the different IDs.
So would that solve the problem, basically?
Yeah, I just wondering why do you think it's necessary at all to do that?
Because the whole program works on them being numbered at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a problem if there's no...
It'd be a lot of work for really no extra feature gain at all.
But actually, I think there is something in the audio. Shouldn't that, if there's a, even though there's not a word, I think in the audio there will be something at that point because it has a duration.
Or do you think it could appear in the summary?
Hmm?
If it's something in the audio, it's just like a noise, and then we don't want it.
Yeah, yes. Because you can't sort it in the display.
You cut
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, you cut out the ones that don't have any words, I suppose.
Would that not happen at some... Sorry, I'm jumping in. Would that not happen at summarization anyway, even if they're in... The, like, would the ones that have no words and then will have really low information then to do something?
I don't know. Because the thing is, it depends if we want to ever display the whole thing at once.
Because you'd reckon that you could leave them in and they would never show up in a summary anyway.
If you left them in, it wouldn't affect the way the program works.
Why do you have a special handling for those?
Well, I don't in the program, it's just they're not in the raw test.
It's just because they would have a blank line and it seems a bit but I can put them back in. It's
it's
well,
just the question I wanted to realize.
Yeah.
Either way is fine by me, as long as the two things tie up, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really matter whether those are in or out.
Well, wouldn't you think that if you just write the program in the way that even in the way that it displays everything, it still leaves those out? Like, if you give those a special information density idea, or just...
Like minus one or something.
Yes, something like that, and then just make sure that summary, even in the...
Yeah,
in the
that's
most
possible.
Summarized mode, just never puts them in.
Might be a problem for me at the stage right now because I based everything on not having those.
Actually,
because
the TF IDF wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, my topic submitter doesn't make blank lines.
So maybe we should just omit them then.
And what I also did was having two people annotate the first meeting, and so they didn't annotate them. The spaces and everything would mess up. I think if I had spaces for the new values, so when I wanted a correlation, it wouldn't work anymore.
Okay, so maybe we should leave them out then.
Okay, should we take a quick look at the comments?
Well, what I could do is work further with what I've got now, and then just when I have my the final formula ready, I could apply it to the new stuff. That
so,
I know, how did you assign the data act number? Did you take the one you found in the in the XMI file and just, you know, put it there, or did you?
No, my PFIDF is based on Collins data, so I end up with the same.
The
line line.
Working
okay,
now.
You end up with this.
Yeah.
It is actually
okay.
It is jumping now. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Oh, so the summary is probably okay, because it does.
Yeah, it's a summarized just now. It's just it's summarized stupidly, but at least it's jumping.
Yeah.
Is it
sure.
Still doing all?
Yes, and in fact, at the moment, I don't even know which of the two I'm summarizing over. Do you know? Are we
I can't remember which one it is at the moment.
So at the moment, the configuration is that word importance file is test 3 and TBIDF
yeah.
file is test 2. I've just switched them around, so I have no clue what we're actually doing.
That, those names are misleading. Well, the TFIDF
yes,
is fine. Word importance is completely misleading. It's not word importance
since
at all.
I've just switched them around anyway. But that's okay. By the way, I read a paper which makes an important point about combining two things of that type. It's basically it's going all about this fancy concept called geometric mean, which effectively just means multiplying them. But I have some good information about different ways how you can sort of weight two different factors, because it's for something very similar. Somebody who tried to solve a very similar problem where they also had two factors that they wanted to weigh together, and there's like a good justifiable reason why we should do it in a certain way, and how we can then with a simple parameter adjust how much one weighs and how much the other weighs. So there is something for just for putting them together in a relatively simple way, but still a way that we can sort of justify.
Mm-hmm.
We can post stuff on that.
Is
yeah,
it very complex? Or
No, it's multiplying them.
Well, just multiplying together.
And like putting them one
to
over
power.
The power of something and the
yeah.
other over minus
I've
one.
I've seen that before.
One minus the power of something, and that sort of. And they've plotted some graphs about like where they show like one going from 0 to the
yeah.
1 and the other going 0 to 1, and like how the landscape changes, and how the parameter changes, how it works. So that's quite good.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
So that's probably seeing that we're probably not going to go into any whatever base, blah blah blah, macro model, blah 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 about combining them.
No.
And that's probably what we should go. Now this is still not ideal at the moment, David. It's sort of it's overrunning. Like it's okay. So
yeah.
At the moment we are that far that if I now click onto a segment.
Oh, it's all working like it should do.
Yeah, it's just. Sorry, I just resized it. Yes, it's like the values are sort of hard coded for the screen sizes and dice and my screen small. So let's see, I was a stupid user and was clicking on this segment. We probably have to make the segment lines a lot bigger. So then did I get a new summarization? Yeah, I didn't actually see, so I can let me check a different one.
Yeah,
yeah, so you see it's a different text.
So it did work.
It's running through it, and you see the indicator in where we are is jumping.
Yeah.
So it's skipping stuff. Now I don't think the summary at the moment is what we wanted to be seeing. They were like, exactly right.
It's ancient data, though.
So. This is probably the opposite of what we want. So it's probably some value which you have to like divide by one, wouldn't divide by the value or something. But
having said that, it's picking out some interesting stuff. Like we're looking at Atlas. You'd expect to score quite
yes,
many.
But also every other word in that sentence we should look at are probably in your list of 50 like least words in the universe.
Atlas,
so
you just thought it'd be quite high.
Yes, but it's probably just because if you look at the other one, like this is just their best sentence for like having function words in a row. So and every other this one is sort of the developing a big infrastructure. Maybe it's just doing it randomly at the moment, I don't know. But we have some summary working and that's a good basis to start from. So I promise now that you get something where you can get your own data and it's sort of ringing.
I'm just quite surprised it all actually worked because we've been working on like incomplete versions that haven't worked for a long time.
Yeah.
And see it all come together.
Yeah, still it's might be having some problem. I think this one overran just before, so we might still have some problem here that it's not stopping at the end, but so, Dave, can you promise, I'm not making the promise realistically, that the girls will very soon get
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the first thing I'll do is make a load box for selecting a file.
Okay, yeah.
And a script that sets the class path so it can be run with just a script. So, class path is like this long.
So, at the moment, I've hard-coded it to just taking 1/10 of the number of utterances which were in the original selection.
But we'll have a parameter for that.
Yeah. It actually gives you an error if you put it to 20 because there's some things in there which are shorter than 20. And if you select those, then it's
Yeah, we need to add some sanity checking and some of the stuff.
But I think like a proportional one is probably no bad idea. That's, I mean, an absolute length is sort of a bit strange because that means that some utterances will not be changed in length. Anyway, we had that discussion before and I'm confused myself about what I think about it. So the fact that this is going on beyond that green line here is something that's not ideal, but that's something we have to sort out. But this is working in general. Does anyone have a general overview of the whole time issue? Like, as in, what date is it today? What date do we have to have this presented? What day of the week is that? And issues like that. So the presentation is
presentation is exactly in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today. Okay. 1 week from today, I shall hear the freedom ring from the hills and then everything, and shall then throw myself into new slavery.
I think we should start to think about evaluation. I mean, if you want to have some.
But we don't need it evaluated for the presentation, do we?
Yeah, but it's just 3 days between the presentation and.
Oh, because it was moved back,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
No, really?
Yeah.
And the report?
Yeah.
I can write people in. Doing it, a few people at least.
Do you think we're going to have time?
Yeah, I think we should have take
as long
time
as we design
it.
As long as we design it beforehand, I think we can probably manage to actually do it in the 3 days after. So you're talking about
two
years.
We
also
days,
have to write the thing in that time.
Writing the report won't be so bad. How long is it expected to be?
I don't know. That's 50% of the mark.
I know, but if everyone, like if everyone is managing 3 pages for their bit, then that's going to be that's a big report then.
No.
Yeah, but evaluation.
We should probably write some user documentation because I bet that'll get us marks.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah,
yeah,
they'd
I
love that
so.
Kind of stuff. Because we'll just write, you know, little help files or something.
Or like integrate tooltips, that would be visible.
Yeah, that probably fixes. Yeah, I've got a basic search for it's got a user interface. So
have you Java docked it?
No.
And also, where is it?
It's still in my directory.
Because the
put it in your directory.
Code version in the group directory is not the right
one. Yeah, I've not been using that. Yeah, I've just been taking the class files from your directory.
Okay.
Having said that, Dave, we could probably if we want, we could probably go back to the group directory and just use this trick. It really seems to be all about starting in the
directory. Yeah.
But I mean, if the two of us are just working on it, it does make a difference. I've already mounted your directory now, so.
Okay. Well, we should wait till we have it ready for you guys to use, and we'll put it back in the group directory.
Mm.
So I'll try and do that today. I've got time today, and as long as I don't run into problems, I don't see it taking too long.
How about the summarization again? You wanted to base it on sentence length as well, and I've got sentence length incorporated into my importance measure at the moment. So
well, in that case, it's probably just. I mean, that's probably fine. I mean,
but if we do it twice, it wouldn't make too much sense.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much should be done in the program because I don't know. I think it should probably be done offline.
What?
The basic combining of all the factors.
Well, if it's just multiplying two numbers, it can be done in the program.
Yeah, sure.
Because what we could do is have a slide file where we can adjust this value. Actually, if you can figure out a way, like how, basically a general way, because there's at least 2 points at which we are interested in that, how we can just have a slide bar which we can read and write, which is in a frame of that type. That would be good. It shouldn't be difficult, should it?
Hopefully we can take over that rate one because we don't need it.
It might be more difficult. Let's see. You could, if you're lucky, you probably just have to extend that class and then you can work with that value. But if you're unlucky, it might be quicker to just write a very simple chain component, which is just
I bet you can just add it to the panel. Like what? I bet that's a pre-made swing component, that little slider, and all you do is add it to the panel.
Yeah. So because we basically, it would be good to have two different ones to play around with. One for controlling the length of the summary, and another one for the merging factor, if we do it that way with the generic.
Please send me a link to that paper, so I'll implement that in Summarizer.
Yeah, it's just a single formula, effectively, yeah. How's the audio thing going, is that? You've probably
not looked at it, yeah. Like last week, I've just not done anything. But I can't see it taking long again.
Okay, it seems that at the moment, a lot of the stuff that has to be done is sort of at the moment of saying, oh, Dave, can you do this? That's not ideal.
But to be honest, I did like nothing really on it last week, so. And I've got time today, tomorrow, and probably Friday.
Okay.
So.
Because I think, I mean, the audio is, the audio is a very important component of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's going to look stupid if we have everything working, but just.
It's just annoying because I need to do that on a DICE machine, so I can't get them to compile on the Windows.
The speech tools.
Yeah. And most of the DICE machines don't have working sound cards. So.
Is there any way for exporting sound?
No idea.
Because that would be sort of the nice way to sit at home and have it forward the sound at the lowest bit rate to you. I mean, seeing that it's over broadband, it's forwarding the graphics quite okay. It would probably, like, broadband wise, bandwidth wise, probably work out.
I'm not sure if it can do sound or not. No,
but it's probably not a simple thing.
But like, what I can do is, I'm pretty confident that it'll just be writing a script and it'll just go. And as long as I can test the script like once, it's working fine. I can just make it return dummy stuff so it works on other machines.
Are you not creating files anyway, like sort of real files?
Yes. So.
So that you can do in a DICE machine.
Oh, actually, I know what I can do. I can change the script. So if I'm using my one at home, I can just add SSH stuff in to evoke the sound tools on DICE and then copy them back.
One problem with SSH in general is that the machine that, like, the only gateway machines, they hate you for doing anything on them.
Yeah.
And there's no simple way, at least I haven't found one, to directly, in a single step, sort of SSH and then SSH again. Actually, I guess if you put SSH and you can give a command up right after with SSH. So if that command is SSH again.
Yeah.
And if you, that would require that you have all your key files set correctly, which I haven't, because it always fucks up in my system. Maybe if you get that working, then you should be able to directly go into another
machine.
I'm sure
I can figure out some way to do it anyway.
Yeah.
If it comes to it, I'll just install NetBeans and stuff on my Linux machine and work on that.
Because a primitive version of the sound to have relatively soon would be good.
To be honest, there won't be a primitive in between stages.
Okay.
They'll just work.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Okay.
In theory, at least.
So, to come back to the problem we had before, so the reason why the summary didn't work well in the last one, it works well now, is because based on the Bokken data, the data is so homogeneously high in its importance rating that it's just sort of then everything else being equal took the first ones, more or less. But now it's working better because now it's on a much more evenly distributed.
I wonder if we should do something like dropping the bottom third and then remapping the lowest remaining one to zero and scaling it like that, because you get a much nicer distribution like that.
The most professional way of doing it would be to map them according to the standard deviation, because that way it would automatically always. It's sort of like, it's the problem is it's more calculation expensive and slightly more complicated than Vertex here in terms of calculations, not much. Have you ever read, you know, generally about standard deviation?
I've not used it to do that before.
It's a very simple formula. It's basically just whatever the average of mean square difference from the mean or something. But the problem with it is that generally you first have to get the mean, and only once you have the mean, you know.
There is a way of calculating it.
In one go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While calculating it cumulatively.
I derived that myself. Like, I didn't find it, so I did it myself, and it took me a day with the formula. But then I'm slow at maths. So the good thing about that would be that if you simply say that whatever one standard deviation below the mean is zero and one standard deviation above the mean is one or two standard deviations or something, then whatever the data is like, it would always normalize.
Yeah, that's probably quite a good idea.
Yeah, it's not the simplest, but that's the most professional way I can think about it. That would indirectly also drop stuff. I mean, that would drop whatever is below.
Yeah, that's probably quite sensible.
So if you find that formula, that would be good. Otherwise, I can see if I can still understand. Like, I did it in my program. It's really stupid. Like, the standard deviation formula just requires that you have the mean initially, and that makes some things exactly twice as computationally expensive. And there is a way of doing it.
Yeah, I can't remember it offhand, but I know there is one.
So that's one possible way of doing that. So
but it could be fine. I mean, running over the data twice, probably.
But that's just in the loading stage, right? Yeah, that should actually be
fine,
especially in the worst case, we just introduce a small hourglass. But anyway, we're only going to present this once. And we can probably just like sort of start it up before the presentation starts. So we shouldn't at all be worried about it. It's actually quite beautiful. It's like if you want a program only to run once and only a part of it, you don't worry if it crashes afterwards. It wastes all the resources and formats the hard disk in the end. Anyway, I'm running on. And
yeah, Ars never closes the process.
No,
does it now?
I changed it. Just
they used to not close the process when you click the cross.
You would forget that. That means that you would start it 15 times over and have 15 zombies running. Does anyone know anything about which dice machines have sound cards and how to find them?
No.
Because the thing is, we can't, like, this at the moment is working because it has a sound card. The interesting thing is that because of the structure of this, it isn't enough to just say, well, if you don't have a sound card, you don't have sound. At least I think that's what I remember from
the
process.
Yeah, it refuses to load the clock for some reason.
So
I don't know why.
I've worked around it. There is ways, I think, to get around it, but the problem is, so you basically have to have two code versions, then one for sound card and one for non-sound card machines to test it on. Because you have to change all sorts of other things if you don't have a sound card. So there isn't a simple way to just tell which ones the sound card machines are, just to use sound card machines instead.
Yeah, that makes it really quite difficult for us if we want to test all our stuff and first have to fight for a computer.
Yeah, but I guess, I mean, if you trust in Dave's summary for the audio, just putting all these things into sound, then having
sure.
a written summary.
Yeah,
I just care for the written one. That's
yeah,
like
you still get the written one
and
the display.
So
the only thing you don't get is the plot.
So I think there could be the easiest way is if we just make a sound card and a non-sound card version of it. Because
I don't think we should bother, because we'll run it on a sound card version.
Yeah, but then that means that the girls can't test it. That's the problem. Like
yes, it can. All that happens is it refuses to load the clock. You still get the display. And the
but without the clock, you don't have... Well, actually, you're right. It doesn't strictly have to do any movement.
So, the move... you can still click on the segments, and that will still work, won't it?
Yeah, but we have to comment stuff out for that, I think. Like, at the moment, if you click on a segment, it automatically sets the whole clock thing going and stuff, so we have to comment out stuff. So that's what I'm saying, that there is... We could make it a flag, couldn't we? We could just make it a runtime flag, and then make a few ifs and say if...
There must be a way of detecting whether the clock's loaded, like...
Yes.
In fact, there is. You
there
can
is.
Try and set something on the clock and use try and catch, and then if you catch the exception, set the flag.
So anyway, so that's something we should probably do in one way or another, because it seems just that the overwhelming majority of dice machines don't have sound cards.
Okay, we want to have a look at the agreement and disagreement data that I worked on last week. Or do we have anything wrong?
No, nothing much to talk about. So apart from like a search box and the similarity thing, once that kicks off, this is more or less in the end, like this is very similar to what our product will look like in the end.
Mm.
Seeing that realistically with a given time frame, we're not going to do amazing new things from now on. So we hopefully
perhaps my list of agreements. Perhaps my list of agreements somewhere.
List of agreements?
Yeah.
Or you could put those
if
on the display.
Find them good enough.
Okay,
I wanted
yeah.
to provide that an extra list saying.
Okay.
Instead of a list, what about
yeah, I think
putting
it, would
it
good
in the
good
display?
You could go in the display to annotate them in the display.
Yeah, for example. Yeah,
we could just
can you click on a point in time in the display and
not just
there.
Yet, but that should that's actually that's probably the only thing I can say I can do this week. That should be,
that'd
I mean,
be pretty
I do it in an inefficient way. I'd effectively sort of go through all the segments and check if they're clicked on. But I think, Jake, what we should do is that time click of the clock, I think that's changeable. And I think we should probably increase that, because at the moment it's 0.1 seconds. And that's just, there's some background noise when it's working, and I think that is because it's like doing so much every time.
Okay, I don't get that on my machine.
Yeah, it's probably because I'm not sure if you have the version with the display yet, where the display is actually updating up here when it's
no.
moving on. So I mean, yes, it is because my display is programmed inefficiently, but I think with a given time constraints, it's probably easier instead of making a very
okay.
efficient display code to just make the time, make the clock, whatever, 0.5 seconds or something. Do you want to monitor?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can skip more accurately than the time steps, that's fine. Because otherwise you might risk cutting bits off.
If I can skip more accurately, then
like if you want to jump to a point, you need to be able to jump more accurately than half second. Like half second, you'll miss words.
Still with that idea that we want to display bars for the individual speakers?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And also explain to the twins.
I don't know where that is.
Oh yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
It's probably because it's coming from my resolution and it's you have much higher resolutions.
So. Yeah, that's because it's widescreen or something. Yeah.
But, okay, what you see here in this part is the. Here is a list of the most important or most probable words that occur in agreement. So the number in the first brackets is, so I run it on all the BED, BMR, and BRO meetings to learn it. The number in the first brackets is how often it occurred in the utterances that were annotated as agreements by the dialogue act agreement. And the number in the second brackets is how much it occurred in the rest. And the first number in every line is how much more often that is per same text length. So the words that it gives look quite good, I think. It's exciting, perfect, true, interesting, exactly, correct, super, and so on. And then I ran it on the first meeting, getting what's in the brackets in this window here is the utterances, and at the moment it can make any differences between, I mean, you get the same value for every utterance that is exactly or every utterance that is true. And for the longer utterances, I just look how often one of these words is in there and simply add it up. So that should, in principle, favor longer utterances. So these numbers here, 1 or 0, that's
their agreements, whether it's if they're annotated as agreements, they're not zero here. So here, for those who get a very high score, they're mostly not zero. And some of those who are zero are still very good, like, I definitely agree, it's a nice kind of agreement that people are going to have. And when you get further down, you see those who have very low score also have no agreements.
Again, I think that's probably a good part if we had a slide bar initially where we could dynamically adapt the threshold
of what we display, yeah.
Yes, so maybe it's just like, maybe it's just good to have like some generic component with three slide bars or something where we can relatively easily add a fourth one or something, you know,
yeah.
And just like sort of all our fiddle factors.
Obviously we'll hide that in the presentation.
Well, it depends. We could, like, in some cases we could put it as a feature and say, you know, you can dynamically
but we don't want, I don't think we want to have exposed the user doing things like adding the threshold of which
we wouldn't call
display.
It threshold, we call it sort of like the granularity of decision, something like that. So
decision factor.
Yeah, and everything above that threshold, I could then at the occurrence where it occurs, just put a certain graphical item, like a handshake or something.
Yeah, that does look quite promising,
so
doesn't it?
It looks quite good, I think. So that's what I got for agreement, and then for disagreement I did also, but it's a bit more difficult because there's so little disagreement. Yeah, so I again see the list, but it's much shorter and it's...
So you can have happy faces and angry
yeah,
faces.
Yeah, so
it's
the same, like, it's so tempting.
Smiley.
There's yellow smiley and yellow angry faces. beautiful.
And that is here the list of utterances it gets us for the first meeting.
Didn't somebody say that actually, like, a lot of agreements have actual words which are such as disagreement, like?
Yeah, I mean, I think perhaps that's why we have but written so high here.
Yeah, that makes sense. So can you?
Well, I think. Things also rated higher in the non-agreement than in the agreement.
So
yeah,
will that produce basically an agreement and a disagreement score for every dialogue act?
Yes. Yeah, that's...
So
okay.
Could you put them in the same format as the other data?
Yeah, it's just...
And
I mean,
I'll make
it's exactly
cast to read it in.
Thing, but just... I would just have to rescale this factor here. And, I mean, this is the data effect number, so...
All right. Okay. So I could probably read it from.
Yeah, I can just give
already.
It to you in the format you want. So
my preferred would be dialogue act number.
And then score. Yeah, this was.
You can put both
the
scores in one file.
Huh?
You can put both the scores in one file if it makes it easier.
If they're corresponding for each thing, yeah, they should be. So for each utterance, you have one
agreement
and
one disagreement.
Yeah.
So I'll read that into, I'll make it part of the get measure thing, so you can just get it with a flag, using get measure.
Okay, yeah. The one
so you know how zero is TF, IDF, one is I've called it word importance, but that's a really
you know what, if you can,
misleading menu.
If you introduce like a sort of a static, what's it called, public static int, so basically a constant, like the stable constant, give them names. Like, so 0 TDIDF 1, that probably makes the code a lot more readable for everybody who's playing around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like whatever 3 means agreement value, and then I just write something agreement, and then it's easier to understand for both of us what's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
One problem I still have is with all the years, because, I mean, obviously they all write it the same, so I was thinking that looking at the acoustic values I have, so for example at my F0 deviation, but by now I just had a look at the year data, and actually the average F0 deviation is only slightly higher for the positive ones than for the negative ones. I mean, there is a difference, but it's probably not significant enough to really make use of it. But
I would also
investigate some.
The
problem is, yeah, it's occurring not only as an agreement, but really frequently as like an encouragement as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So, and I, my hypothesis was that if it's really like agreement, it will sound different than if it is just a back channel.
But you know what? I think we should put the threshold for that in the end quite high. Anyways, it probably doesn't make much of a difference because I think this thing.
But that has nothing to do with the threshold.
Because
you don't have it only with yes, you have it also with words that are much higher ranked. You have the same problem, like for example, with yep is much higher ranked because it occurs less often in the training thing.
But I mean, the fact that different ones have the same number in itself isn't a problem, is it?
No, it's only if they are used in different contexts.
So if for every yep you'd be sure that it's an agreement, then that wouldn't be a problem. So you're saying that you're not sure if every yep is an agreement?
Yes, I know that not every yep is an agreement. Because this right, yep, and okay things are typically also fictional.
And what's the highest ranked one that kind of problem occurs with? Because if it's below about, because I saw those ones up in the 80s, wasn't there? Maybe it's below like 50. It's probably not exactly. No, they're all.
Yeah,
but we'll
throw a lot away that are quite good.
Because we on the display we probably take quite high, so it only matter if it occurs on ones that are really highly ranked.
So over how many different over which length is this? Now this is like so the third column is the utterance where it occurs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we really do have to put the threshold quite
high
then, because
well, otherwise you'd get icons all over the place.
Yes, I was just checking here, like how far apart are they? And at the moment, that's definitely not a good thing to display if they're like an average 10 utterances apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we would probably want to take a threshold at least of 50 or 60, just as a looking at that.
I think for this meeting, there were, around 90 annotated agreements, agreement dialogue acts.
Mm-hmm. See, we probably wouldn't want to display 90. We'd want to rate them, just how important they were, wouldn't we?
I mean, the best ones are definitely those on the first screen. So
again, I'd say probably a good way of going about that question is to have control which we can vary in the
and see how it turns
and then
out.
Just sort of because that's in the end how it's going to be evaluated. You know, in the end, this is kind of like, I mean, we're going to present it and say, yeah, so this is our interest agreement, and then we see what looks good and what looks, I think, probably looks credible if like if every sort of every topic segment has.
An agreement at the end.
Like something in between 3 and 5 agreements, but not more, probably maybe less, but not much less. So actually, I think that doesn't have to be one of them.
Yeah. Probably have to plot them because some of them are also, I mean, this is just added by different speakers, for example, where you can keep following one another, it's just two speakers agreeing, I think. Same for this one here.
So, yeah, we probably want to merge ones that are very close.
I mean, they will be optically merged anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but maybe in an expensive way, or maybe in a stupid looking way, though.
Yeah, well, we should probably make some logic when it displays it.
Yes.
If there's ones very close together, it just.
Yeah, I was just thinking they can probably be done on display.
It's looking quite good though.
It's going to crash. Mine just crashed, but it's just bad. We probably just kept on playing and not reached some.
I think it's always really funny that when you look at people's computers who don't use a computer much, their desktop's really tidy. And when you look at people who use it all the time, there's stuff everywhere. Mine's like that as well.
I only keep the stuff I actually need on it,
yeah.
And then I clean it up every, you know, every
my
day.
God.
But actually, this all here is SSD because it was data that didn't fit on my quota anymore.
So do you want to have keywords for each topic segment or something?
Yeah.
Who provides the values for that?
Normally, yeah.
I think sort of the bottom line, which might well end up what it's going to be like, is that we take the single highest ranked utterance and put that as a title, like realistically looking at this from the time we have left to do this and stuff.
Because what I do is having values for each segment at the moment, so I could just extract the highest ones for each segment.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good, but it
could
be
good,
at least I could provide some value.
Yeah, maybe on a single, is that on a word basis? Would that be single words or would that be?
It doesn't matter to me.
Check out what they would be like on a word basis.
Yeah.
Maybe actually if there's one word which is very typical, and it's probably somewhere like because that's like the only time that was spelled with 3 A and stuff. I think that might be a problem of the whole annotation, that if they aren't exactly consistent in how they transcribe stuff like that.
Same thing with the emus and so on.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking sometimes, like, why is high, but then probably it's the only time that was spelled with a dot at the end and stuff, so. But yeah, like, if single...
Maybe we should download a dictionary and check our utterances before we listen to make sure that they're actually real words. You see what I mean?
I have dictionaries. If it's just, like, I have arbitrarily long lists from the British National Corpus of when you
that do not include
well, let's say at least that it is consistently enough that I think you can filter them out fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, see how it turns out. If they look good, then that's a good way of doing it as any, I suppose.
Yeah, so if the single best one word for a segment. It's interesting, that would be really good.
Mm.
Actually, what I think you should do is take the highest three or four and then just merge them together into one utterance. It wouldn't make any sense, but it'd give you an idea of what they're actually talking about. If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Can we go backwards, you know, suddenly
especially when the segments are really long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of in the original content in the nice fancy drawings that you gave Stephen. I mean, that was part of it, that sort of within a segment you had these sub-segments and each of them had different words and whatever happened to our dreams?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have time for that.
No, I don't think
we're. Which is a shame, because it would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, are we going to have time to make it display like a whole archive of meetings? Or is it just going to be displaying single meetings and you'll look
at the moment, it doesn't really care how many meetings it's displaying.
Poor man's solution is probably going to be to have a
just
list.
Draw a big black line on the borders, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you're thinking of loading them all at once?
Well, you can if you want to.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It can display from any utterance to any other utterance. It doesn't really.
Yeah, see, at the moment the dialogue IDs, they start at 0 for each meeting. They don't run continuously.
Uh-huh.
But you'd like them to run continuously.
Yeah, I prefer to run continuously.
Yeah, I can change that.
Okay, then you will provide a file with all the mappings?
Yeah, just change the index
value.
Okay. Because that way, all we have to do to display more than one meeting is have a harder boundary drawn.
Yeah, I think that like the drawings we changed anyway. There, it's not pretty at the moment. So performance-wise, it generally works fine. For the display, it shouldn't make much of a difference because I think everything in the display code is just from the first until the last one displayed. So if the other performance is okay, then you should really just load the whole something in.
One thing we will have to do is we'd really want a different behaviour if we clicked on a whole meeting than a segment. So if there's more than one meeting displayed, it should, if you click even on one of the segments of that meeting, I think it should reinitialize and display that just that meeting. So I'm not sure how easy that would be to do.
See, that probably just means that the display sort of has an internal knowledge about what level of zoom it has. So initially the display...
It just needs to know whether it's displaying more than one whole meeting, doesn't it? That's the only knowledge it would need.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, we can sort that out if we have time once we've got everything
else.
That's
probably fairly simple to do, actually. If we do it in that most primitive way of just saying as long as it's been more than one meeting.
Yeah. That gets sufficient to claim that we've implemented some kind of zoom as well.
Yeah. We then need some way of getting back up again in the hierarchy. But then in the worst case, it would just be a static sort of error button in the right hand upper corner of the display, and you press that and then you're on the display the whole thing again.
Mm-hmm.
But for that, at the moment, my display code needs that thing to work, the one... Oh no, that's working at the moment anyway, the one that I just say, give me 100 values over that length, and then you're internally...
Yeah, it's not done in a very clever way.
Okay, but yeah, but that's okay, as long as my display... I was just thinking my display can't handle displaying a million different segments, but now no, but it doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Even now it doesn't have to. Okay, well that's all details. So, Dave, can you just turn this what we have right now...
Basically do a code freeze on it.
Do you want me to put a search in soon?
I'll probably tonight just work on getting a frozen version that works consistently.
Yeah.
And if you could document it for me, that's probably enough for me to add it in. Unless you want to do it.
And
you want my code,
yeah.
I've not documented the program manager class, so it's a bit hairy at the moment, isn't it?
Anyone thinks that they have free time? This is a joke. One thing that would be convenient for all sorts of things in which I haven't found out about it is how to do tooltips in an arbitrary way in Swing graphic displays. Now, there are simple ways of doing tooltips over a given element, like if a button, and you just give it a tooltip text. But there is means of doing tooltips that just, like, I put my mouse over, let's say I put my mouse over this line here, and then it would tell me something about what it is. That would be quite convenient for a lot of things, because then we can sort of have a lot of information in the display in the way that just the mouse is over it, but I haven't figured out how it works, and that's something that probably, so if everyone is ever bored or if anyone feels that they can do that.
Okay, so probably what you'd want to do is detect where the mouse is and change the default tooltip for that component.
Yes.
Because it automatically displays at the correct position when you hover.
Yeah, but the thing is, it isn't simply an act of setting a string default tooltip. There seems to be something about a tooltip object that you have to create and give it all sorts of different properties and stuff.
Well, you might not really want to be creating a new one every time you move the mouse.
So anyway, I haven't looked much into that, so if anybody looks into that, then let me know. Otherwise, I'll start looking into it as soon as I have time again. But if anybody...
I'll have a look through some of my Java books, because it might be a sort of thing that happened there.
I found some stuff about it on the web, and it just looked to me like proper coding. Like I saw half-page code samples, which effectively just displayed a tooltip, and I didn't have the time at that point to get deeper into that. So if anybody gets any good samples of that, anyway, is that it for now?
Is that version all in there?
No, but I'm going up the tower now, and I have my external hard disk, so I can.
So I'll start working. Now or something, and it'll be
okay. Is there any dice machines in this building?
Mm-hmm.
Really accessible for me. Can you show me work? Because I'm actually not going to have the tower at the moment, so I don't have to go. Actually, no, but I have to go there anyway and put a piece of paper on two machines for some stuff of my job. Yeah, and I think that I'll just kick in full time for NLSSD next week, because there's nothing else to do. apart from cognitive modeling, which I think I'm just doing 5 hours, 3 hours. Did you have a look at that?
Yeah, but not too detailed. So.
Mm. I might just not go for the last question, because usually the last question is what takes half the time, 55%. Okay.
Yes, we're going to talk about the evaluation next week.
We really need to get in contact with the other group and see if they want to do a joint evaluation.
Yeah, we can do that.
So we need to get their email addresses.
Yeah, I think they're on the NLSSD web page.
Are they?
Mm.
At least their names and if we have
their
names, then
we
can get their email.
So you do sending them an email, because I was hoping that Steve would mention it to him, because we've mentioned it to him so many times, but he obviously hasn't.
No, maybe he has mentioned it to them, but they just never talked to us, and we didn't talk to them. So. It's sort of coming as a shock to me now, because I was sort of in this mindset, like, I first knew, oh, there's a lot of time between the presentation and the report, and then I knew, oh, now the presentation has shifted, but the correlation between the two facts. Interdependencies. There's some fancy planning language about that.
There's the frame problem.
Yes, it's probably some version of the frame problem. Frame problem hasn't been clear to me.
I think it's coming together not bad at the moment, actually.
Mm. And by the way, how long, how much time do we have for the presentation?
Yeah, probably as long as we need.
Yeah,
but more like 20 minutes or more like an hour.
Well, I reckon
I can't see a guy for an
yeah.
hour. So
I
don't
think
I reckon that.
Yeah, I mean, if you present the components or what it's based on, then you will need more than 20 minutes to present it. Yes.
But if you just present the functionality of the thing, if you're not.
Yeah,
like I don't think this presentation is about the internal workings.
Yeah,
so
I thought it was a demo, basically.
Yeah. So for a demo, I think realistically, since everything in this university sort of works in 1 hour slots and stuff, so if it's two groups, then it probably is going to be roughly
no.
half an hour-ish.
Yeah.
And like 10 minutes of that will probably be set up time as well.
Hmm?
10 minutes of that will probably be set up time as well.
No, why? This is going to be so bad, like there's going to be some small...
Maybe you should present it on your laptop, because we can be really sure it's running before
yeah, but
go.
The performance is really bad at the moment on that.
Mm.
Plus, we would have to get the speech tools running on the laptop.
Well, I could probably get my computer in, if I could get someone to give me a lift. I know a couple of people with cars.
Yeah, maybe
oh,
we
yeah.
could do that.
Let's see,
if we can't see it work.
It could just be fluent on the laptop, for all I know. I mean, like, at the moment, it's not too bad, apart from, I think the sound is stuttering, and I think because of the laptop. We can only really judge that once we have sound.
So I don't need to bring a monitor or anything, I just need to bring a box.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure I could nick a lift off someone.
How fast is your hero?
My computer.
Yeah.
It doesn't have Linux.
So NetBeans would run on anything but...
Or JBuilder.
Yes.
In fact, you shouldn't even need either as long as you've got JBuilder.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I've been able to run it without
Russian machine should be fine. But it all relies on finding some way of getting the speech tools to do that job.
Oh crap, I forgot about that.
Yeah, see that's... Because that's something like... That would rely on
Siglin, maybe.
I just don't think it's a good idea to run the speech tools in
in Siglin.
Mm.
No, but Siglin should run the Java as well.
No. Wherever this is going, it doesn't sound good. Can use my laptop as sort of like as a
server.
Sir. As a sound server, but that would still mean that we have to get the speech to it running with it. Now, you know, I mean, the way Java works is that I think it'll run on their guy's machine if we do it.
Hopefully, yeah.
We should definitely test it the day before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll let us test it out before we do.
Are you going to make something primitive that people can load their data in?
Yeah, I'll do that today. And
okay.
I'll make a script to run it and put that in the Greek directory. And I'll send it on the email on this one.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure what needs to be changed to make it work with the make it not crash if it doesn't have a sound card. There's quite a bit you have to comment out for that. Which is stupid.
It'll be the bit where it creates the clock. Or is there stuff in the display as well?
You know, the thing is the display calls methods which are probably expect some. So I think if the display itself isn't doing anything clocky, so as long as in the program manager everything clocky is removed. It might be worthwhile to check how much more work it would be to do it over a flag. Because then, in the end, because otherwise we always have two code words, and people might be changing the
rule. Well, really, we shouldn't even need a flag. You should be able to do it with exceptions. I mean, that's this is kind of the exact case that exceptions are made for, really.
Yeah, that's true. I know that like if you don't do the exceptions, you have to get crashes that we've figured out. Like,
yeah.
If you don't have a sound cut, it crashes if you don't have a sound. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, do you see in the program manager, do you have a method to like set the current ID so it'll update the display? Because that's what I'm going to need to win getting the search results.
Oh no, it's going to have to do something a bit more complicated than that. What it will have to do is deregister everything as time handlers and then update and then re-register them.
Right.
I think the display has some method for it. I'm not like for the program manager then to call. I'm not actually 100% sure what it's called, but the display has some method where you tell it to start and return.
Yeah, well, as far as I've got at the moment, I've made a results class that's got like the ID.
Have you got a component for displaying lists of matches? So that'd be pretty useful.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not too hard to do. All you have to do is deregister everything that's a time handler first,
right?
Before you add the stuff in. But depends what behaviour we want. Do we want when you click on a search result? We definitely want that one to appear in the summary.
Yeah, and it might not be there.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that may be a problem.
No, sorry, I was wrong. I was thinking it's exactly the same thing that happens when we say set selection. It's not actually set selection does everything you want, sort of.
Yeah, it sets. If you look at set select.
No, but set selection doesn't update the display though, because.
Does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't tell the display which part to display, because the display has just called set selection.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because if it's jumped to in the end text area, then your display, the line will jump, won't it?
Yeah, but that only works, that at the moment isn't done through our system, that's just done because then the time changes. So actually a time change would automatically put the position of the display in the right place. No, but that's not a good idea because that could well be outside the displayed area then.
And also the real time and play time stuff will change.
Yeah.
So we need to reinitialize the display then, don't we?
Yeah, and I think the display has a method for that ready, which is called anyway, display is something useful for that. Something for software that was set. Yeah, you can set the window start utterance and window end utterance.
But yeah, we need to do something to ensure that the search result is in the summary that's created. So we probably want a different summary constructor that takes an additional argument of an ID, and that utterance will always be in the summary.
Alternatively, there's always the method of just giving it a really high score as a hack, you know, just.
Yeah. That's fine.
As long as you then don't, well, probably people wouldn't.
But the trouble is that still doesn't guarantee that it will appear, because if you get enough of them that are high scored, it prefers the first ones
well,
it sees.
You could put 1.1 when the other ones on the cut to 1.
Yeah, I suppose.
But no, it's not an high score, I'm just saying.
You could, when you're doing a search, you could just like sort of zoom back out so you've got the full text for that segment or that meeting rather than a summary. Because that's maybe what you'd want if you were a user.
Yeah, probably that's actually true, that if you're doing a search, you're usually not interested in a condensed way, but in the full thing anyway.
You could provide an option.
You can
achieve
the same.
Otherwise it would be too complicated to cope with the system if you have to readjust it to a different zoom level to get better results.
probably
yeah,
the way to handle that
in the eyes of the user.
Would be to make a summary that's the same length
yeah.
as the selection, and that would ensure that the search term came up.
Alright, yeah.
I think proportion, like even though I'm always getting myself confused about this, but I think sort of making the summary length thing generally proportion, like as a proportional
yeah.
factor of its written length is a good way of going about it, because anything with absolute length is sort of stupid, because that means that a long, long segment gets to 1% of its length and another one gets to exactly the same length and stuff. So if you're doing it by proportion, then just having 1.0 or something
yeah, exactly.
makes it very easy to go with another. Actually, that's what I've currently, like the current code just takes a tenth of
yeah.
the summary length.
But we'll have that slider.
Yeah. And that's the type of slider that we can actually leave in and like show
yeah,
like, just that's
very
functionality. Yeah, that's sort of like your level of soon. Impending doom. Shall we quit here?
Yeah.
Anything to discuss? Okay, so I'm gonna copy
okay.
my stuff over.
And I'll stop work and say two. It'll be done by then.
Yeah, otherwise you left and you see me and then so
okay.
I'll just
I think this is going to come together quite well, actually.
No.
So, can
you go to the CNH? Oh, yeah, I didn't actually. Well, I thought of staying because I couldn't really get out of my seat that I was falling asleep again. It was. No, I don't have it with me now because. Ooh, I left my daughter at home. So,
did he present anything useful about.
Naive face, it was.
No, I mean about the system we were on, the Vector system.
Well, he started Vector up once and he sort of went quickly through what he did, but I didn't pay very much attention to that. And so, it didn't look to me like he wasn't doing an overly thorough instruction to it, because it was just a 10-minute very quick, this is how you started and
yeah, okay.
how you
just
look
at it, and I was wondering if there was any documentation or anything at all to figure out what
I think there's quite a few people from courses that have
used. You.
I think there's quite a few people who have done courses that do a lot of Vector stuff. So the best thing might be to team up with those and see if they can make any sense. I can't allocate more than like half an afternoon to CML.
Mm-hmm.